पितं जिन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति सापदन्तिकम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text Number 8. Chalan purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sometimes the merchant in the forest wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to the insufficient footwear, his feet are pricked by small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being pricked by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who is very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his miserable condition, he becomes furious with his family members. Purport. The ambitious, conditioned soul wants to be very happy in this material world with his family, but he is compared to a traveler in the forest who desires to climb a hill full of thorns and small stones. As stated in the previous verse, the happiness derived from society, friendship, and love is like a drop of water in the scorching heat of the desert. One may want to become very great and powerful in society, but this is like attempting to climb a hill full of thorns. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares one's family to high mountains. Becoming happy in their association is like a hungry man's endeavoring to climb a mountain full of thorns. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life, despite all the attempts being made to satisfy the family members. In the Western countries, due to dissatisfaction of the family members, there is actually no family life. There are many cases of divorce, and out of dissatisfaction, the children have leave the protection of the parents. Especially in this age of Kali, family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming self-centered because that is the law of nature. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain a family, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. Consequently, according to the Varnashram institution, one has to retire from family life in middle age. Panchasordvam vanam vrajet. One should voluntarily retire from family life at the age of 50 and go to Vrindavan, or a forest. This is recommended by Srila Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavatam 7.5.5, Tatsadu Manye Sudavarya Dehinam, Sada Samud Vigna Diyam Asat Grahat, Hitvatma Patam Grahim Andam Kupam, Banam Gato Yat Darim Ashrayeta. There is no benefit in transferring from one forest to another forest. One must go to Vrindavan forest and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing a Krishna Balaram temple to invite its members, as well as outsiders, to come and live peacefully in a spiritual atmosphere. That will help one become elevated to the transcendental world and return home, back to Godhead. Another sentence in this verse is very significant. Kotumbika krudyate vai janayaha. When one's mind is disturbed in so many ways, he satisfies himself by becoming angry with his poor wife and children. The wife and children are naturally dependent on the father, but the father, being unable to maintain the family properly, becomes mentally distressed and therefore chastises the family members unnecessarily. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.2.9, Achina Dara Dharavina Yashyanti Giri Kananam. Being disgusted with family life, one separates from the family by divorce or some other means. If one has to separate, why not separate willingly? Systematic separation is better than forced separation. Forced separation cannot make anyone happy, but by mutual consent or by the Vedic arrangement, one must separate from his family affairs at a certain age and fully depend on Krishna. This makes one's life successful. Anyone who is intelligent must see that family life is a source of so many problems. And therefore, we are advised to avoid family life if it is possible. Srila Prabhupada said that his Guru Maharaj came to make sannyasis, but he came to make grihasthas. However, when he observed that the married couples in our society were following the example of the karmis and divorcing and swapping wives, etc., he became disgusted with the whole affair. So, ultimately, we have to surrender to Krishna. If we can do so while avoiding family entanglement, so much the better, because then one's entire energy can be devoted in the service of Guru and Krishna. However, if a family man strictly follows the instructions of the spiritual master, then that family man is also progressive and is called a brahmachari grihastha. So whether one is a brahmachari or a brahmachari grihastha, both are all right for making advancement in spiritual life. But anything else, namely grihamedi life, life in family, which is based on the husband and wife gratifying each other's senses, is the most degraded situation for the human being, and that type of arrangement is no better than the business of cats and dogs. So, we have to deal in this world with cats and dogs, with people who are not practical humans, and it is to these people that we must try to preach Krishna consciousness. So this requires an extraordinary amount of determination, because we cannot expect immediately to get results. When you go to a cat and dog and say, chant Hare Krishna, it is not so easy to get them to chant Hare Krishna, because all they can do is go bark, bark, or some such noise. And similarly, we see that when we request people to take our transcendental books, at best, if they're a little submissive, they may agree. But to expect them to understand, read the book and understand the book immediately, is expecting a great deal. Therefore, we should not be discouraged in any way when we see that it is slow for people to take to Krishna consciousness. It is slow to make cats and dogs into human beings. It takes usually at least one lifetime, if not many lifetimes. So for someone to go from an animal existence into a human existence without having to change his body is practically miraculous. And that miracle is worked by the grace of Guru and Vaishnavas. By the association of pure-hearted souls, even animals can be made to chant Hare Krishna. This was exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went through the Jarikanta forest. He was able to make wild animals chant. We think, however, that Srila Prabhupada's preaching efforts were no less phenomenal than Lord Chaitanya, because he also moved through the jungles of material society, because these cities are practically like jungles, as we have seen recently in Los Angeles, where they had these race riots. Certainly they are like wild animals fighting with each other, snarling and shooting. If they're bigger than animals, that's all. They're more animalistic than the animals themselves. And Prabhupada moved through such jungles of the world, just like an expert, you know, trainer of animals, snapping his whip and making everybody sit up. All of us were sitting up, animals, tigers and other such beasts, sitting at attention, and whatever Prabhupada would snap his whip, we would do our tricks. So, we are animals, but we are submissive animals. And gradually, by the process of Krishna consciousness, we can be elevated to human life. Therefore, the four regulative principles. The four regulative principles are meant to bring someone to the human stage. No meat, fish, eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. When someone can follow these principles, then they can be considered human, because that makes them sober. An animal is not able to be sober. Despite his best efforts, he cannot be sober. At any moment, he can be led away by his senses, victimized by his senses. But a human being is sober and thus can control his senses. So human life is meant for controlling the senses. And the control of the senses for the purpose of serving the spiritual master's instruction is the actual way for progressing and conquering these powerful senses. So we feel ourselves very much indebted to our spiritual master. Devotion to the spiritual master is the keystone of the foundation stone of the building of our devotional lives. We have to be very affectionate. It is said, Brahmachari Guru Kule Vashandanto Guru Hitan. The Brahmachari lives in the house of the spiritual master, and he cultivates a very affectionate, loving relationship with his spiritual master. Prabhupada said a Brahmachari lives very simply. Whatever he possesses, he can tie up in a single cloth and hang on a peg on the wall. In other words, he doesn't have many possessions. He sees himself as a menial servant. And he is simply waiting the order, the command of his guru. So, in that condition, he is maintained by the spiritual master. The brahmachari feels that my spiritual master is giving me life. And practically, this is the way it is. When the spiritual master orders, the brahmachari takes prasadam. If the spiritual master doesn't give the order, the brahmachari will fast. In other words, the brahmachari's attitude is, I live with the spiritual master's order as my life and soul. And I don't have any other concern, I don't have any worry besides this. So for such a devoted brahmachari, and again I say, whether one is brahmachari or grihastha brahmachari is in the same category, for such devoted souls, their path back to Godhead is very straight and quick. And just like when you want to go between two points, a straight line is usually the quickest way. Although I guess it might not always be, because like if you're going from, sometimes when you travel on a sphere, right, they go around the north, isn't it? They go on a, anyway. Mainly on a flat surface, the quickest way to get between two points is a straight line. I think on a sphere it may not be, right? I don't know, I'm not a mathematician, but it seems like that. When they fly from Delhi to Hong Kong, they don't go straight, because then they have to go around this way, they go like this, and it's faster. But anyway, on a flat surface, anyway, the fastest way to go back to Godhead, that's the point I'm making, is by carrying the order of the spiritual master always within his mind. Srila Prabhupada was once lecturing, or when he wrote his Bhagavad Gita commentary, purport, on the verse Eke Har Kuru Nandana. Prabhupada quoted Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur there, that the spiritual master's instruction is the life and soul of the disciple. And Prabhupada said that he took these words very much to heart. So, our spiritual disciplic succession, our spiritual masters, have always been in the business of writing transcendental literatures and distributing them. And we see that from the time of the Goswamis. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not write very many books, only 8 verses are left, still his disciples and descendants, they wrote so many literatures. And their main interest was to propagate the distribution of these literatures. The 6 Goswamis handed over the important literatures to the great preachers, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shyamananda Prabhu, who took these literatures profusely distributing this knowledge. And ever since that time, we see that the members of Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya, this is their main function, distribution of knowledge in the form of transcendental books. Because Krishna consciousness is meant for the intelligent class of people. Otherwise, it is not possible. A dumb animal has trouble controlling his senses. You see, it requires a certain degree of intelligence to actually progress in spiritual life. So these books serve a very nice purpose because they filter out who is qualified and who is not. These books, placed in people's hands, give them an opportunity to understand how to use this human form of life. The books are like a manual that goes with a machine. Just like a machine, like a computer, has a manual which tells you how to use it. So the human body is much, much more sophisticated than any computer. It is the most highly complex machine. And the books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, are the manual teaching us how to use the human body, how to use this human machine. If you don't read these books, you misuse it. Just like we give an example that someone may buy a very costly machine, and if he doesn't know how to use it, he may not know its value. So he may buy a computer and have some walnuts and think that, well, I need to eat my walnuts. So he takes the walnuts and slams them with the computer and breaks the shells and then very happily eats the walnuts. So similarly, people are taking this very sophisticated machine, the human body, and they're smashing it for the purpose of sex life and other types of sense gratification. We have seen how people who are not intelligent don't know how to use things properly. Just like these Aboriginal people in Australia, sometimes they catch them. Practically, I have to catch them. And they put them in houses. You see, they make a house for them because everybody wants Aboriginal rights, equal rights for the Aboriginals. So they put them in houses. And after putting them in houses, the people completely destroy the houses. You know, they want to talk to someone in the next room. They don't go out of the door. They break a hole in the wall. You know, they want to cook something. They don't use the stove. They break the moldings and other things from the doors, chop it up, and light a fire in the middle of the room. They have so many experiences like this. They completely destroy the house because they don't have the proper intelligence. You can say it is a question of training. Training is one thing, but you have to have intelligence to be trained. Animals can be trained, but only they can do mechanically. As soon as there's something different required, they may not have the intelligence. So there are so many turns and twists in material existence. And an intelligent person only can avoid all of the pitfalls. Here it mentions that household life for the materialists, you see, they're serving, working harder and harder and harder and harder simply to please their family. And the result, people are ungrateful. By and large, the materialists are very ungrateful. As soon as the man is unable to supply the necessary maintenance, the family members reject him, and he feels like a useless dog. This is how people feel in material families and society. And sometimes when he gets mistreated, he becomes angry, or when he fails to supply the necessary maintenance, he becomes frustrated and angry, and the result is divorce. So Prabhupada compares that a materialistic householder trying to achieve happiness in family life is like a hungry man trying to cross over a mountain. When a man is hungry, he's weak. He has no strength. How can he cross over a mountain? And why is he crossing a mountain? Thinking that there's something better on the other side. And when he gets to the other side, what does he find? Another mountain range. So this is like a materialist who works like a dog, so hard, with very little energy. And finally, when he gets over the first obstacle and comes down the other side, there's another mountain, and another mountain, and another mountain. And he keeps going over one mountain range after another until finally he just gets exhausted and dies with nothing achieved. But it's such a pitiful condition. So unless people are shown what the position is of material life from someone who is above the mountain ranges, who can tell you, forget it. There are so many mountain ranges, you'll never cross over all of them. Give up this idea. Stop playing this game. This game you lose. Nobody wins in this game. It is only loss. Don't play it. Unless someone with that transcendental vision, Om Abhyana Timaranda Sid Jananjana Salakaya, we are praying to the spiritual master that he takes us out of ignorance, the darkness of ignorance. And we are caught in this ignorance. And the spiritual master is giving us transcendental knowledge from a higher position. That is the position of Shastra. That is the position of Krishna. So we are doing this for people when we give them books. We are handing them this transcendental vision. If they don't take advantage of it, it is not our fault. At least we have done our duty. That much we should do. Otherwise, they have no hope. Where else will they get this knowledge from? Except from Krishna-conscious devotees. So, who can imagine the benefit and well? Who can imagine the service being provided to the world by this movement? Because except for this practical way of distributing Prabhupada's books and preaching like this, people are caught in ignorance. Everybody is wasting human life, and they're going to glide down into animal existence. There are more animals coming up as humans, but they're going to go right back down. They finally make it into a human form after so many lifetimes, and they behave like animals and glide down into hell again. So, don't be so surprised. Manusinam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Don't be so surprised that very few are joining. Because Krishna already says, Manusinam sahasreshu. And that was 5,000 years ago. And 5,000 years ago, he said very few people. What to speak of now? We have seen in 50 years how things have degraded. What to speak of 5,000 years? How much worse it is now? So it is a very rare person who takes up Krishna consciousness fully. But everyone can get some benefit by taking a book, by giving a donation for that book. So many sinful activities are at least, if not neutralized or counteracted, at least they are beginning to accrue spiritual benefit. So we should go very strongly forward with our program of book distribution. You should know it. Prabhupada said, every time you distribute a book, you make one step closer back to home, back to Godhead. We should have no doubt about this, that every time we distribute a book, each person we give these books to, they are getting some chance. Some benefit is coming. Maybe 5,000 of their sins are counteracted when they take a book. And since they have a vast storehouse, a vast stock of sins, at least we have decreased that sinful nature. And we have given them some opening, some hope. Some ray of light is coming. So it is not in any way a hopeless task. It is hopeful. There is no other hope. So we have to be such merciful welfare workers, even if we do not feel compassion. But on the order of our guru, who is compassionate, we should go forward. And gradually, by doing a compassionate activity, we'll become compassionate. We will receive the compassion, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, let us dedicate ourselves like this. Prabhupada said, so many lifetimes we have wasted. Now, for one lifetime, let us give it in the service of Lord Chaitanya. So many lifetimes we have wasted, doing so much nonsense. Now, for one life, let us use it in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service. And that one life used in Mahaprabhu's service is enough to take us back to Godhead. So we will stop here and ask if anyone has any questions. Yes, I know. The cumulative effect of massive book distribution will one day bear fruit. Prabhupada compared the distribution of books to planting seeds. He also, here, he compared them like that. So when you sow many, many seeds in a field, it may take some time before they fructify and grow. So by mass distributing Prabhupada's books, blanketing the earth with Prabhupada's books, we are planting seeds. Actually, when it says Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Vij, the seed of love of God is already in everyone's heart. Really, what we mean by planting the seed is we are planting the seed of devotional service. Because the seed of love of God is already in the heart of every living entity. We are giving them the means by which that seed can be nourished. So it is a question of time only. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the world becomes overflooded, we should take it for granted that in time we will see a very massive display of Krishna consciousness taking place on this earth. We may not see how it is possible now, but things can reverse themselves. Just like Prabhupada said, it might take a great war, for example, to make people become, you know, able to take up spiritual life, to destroy any hope that they may have of material happiness. What it will take, that remains to be seen. But Prabhupada clearly says in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Lord Chaitanya clearly says that it covered the world, it swept the world in a tidal wave of love of God. So this is only the beginning. We have only been spreading Krishna consciousness 25 years. The Christians have been going for 2,000 years. 25 years is not very much. We are just basically establishing our, you know, ourselves in our positions. Just like when an army fights, the first thing they do is they dig in and get their positions. So we're just basically getting our, you know, establishing our positions. And gradually now we're starting to fire our weapons. So it will take some time. And Lord Chaitanya will help. We should not give up the fight, and we should not deviate from the principles of which Prabhupada gave us for preaching. The victory will be won. Prabhupada's words, Lord Chaitanya's words, never go in vain. We have never seen that anything Prabhupada said came out wrong. It never happened. And certainly Krishna's words never go wrong. So when things like Krishna Das Kaviraj says in Chaitanya Chaitamrita stated, there is no possibility that it will not take place. We are simply unable to know it now because we are of little faith. We have very little faith. We simply see the overwhelming odds. The Karmi's position looks very powerful, very entrenched, very firm. We can't imagine how material civilization is going to be flooded by Lord Chaitanya's mercy because we have little faith. But actually, if we consider, Prabhupada's words never went in vain. Anything he said, it came to pass. Anything Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said must come to pass. So, main problem is our lack of faith. But one thing is, you know, those words are visionary words. But for someone as small as me, like a little spider, I can only see what's right in front of me. Just like a soldier, he may not be able to see the entire movements of all the army, right? He just sees his enemy in front of him and shoots. So we book distributors, we not be able to see the whole picture. We just see in front of me there is someone coming and I'm going to give him this book. You know, I will do this. And the generals, they are controlling many soldiers. You move here, you move there, you move there. And they have got a broader vision. So for us who are book distributors, we should just think, in front of me is the enemy. Shoot. It's hard to say how much and when it will happen, but surely he will. His karmic course has been redirected. In other words, taking a book nullifies so much karma. It puts a person into a different position altogether. Bhakti is transcendental to jnana and karma. Just like It is said that when you clap your hands and chant Hare Krishna, the lines on your hands change. Your fate, your karma changes. So that's why, although astrologers may be able to tell you something about what your fate is from birth, they cannot in any way estimate the effect of bhakti. It's the transcendental principle. It's not a material science. It's a spiritual science. So in the same way, by getting a book, these people are being touched by the unlimited mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And when and how it's going to affect them is hard to predict, but it must act. It must help them. Whether it means that they're going to get a human form of life in the next birth, whether it means that they're going to become devotees in this lifetime or next lifetime, exactly person to person is hard to say. But certainly, they're going to be given the further opportunity for spiritual life. It is not the end, in other words. It is the beginning for them. Prabhupada said it is the beginning of their spiritual life. So exactly how it will progress remains to be seen. And when we give them another book and another book, they get that much more benefit and it goes that much more quickly. Book distribution is a complete form of preaching. It is a very complete form because it immediately engages someone in devotional service. What can be better? Money. Next to life, money is most dear. You get someone to give their money, it's very dear. You're giving them, how much can you speak to someone compared to what 400 pages of Prabhupada's books can say? Every time you're doing that, it's another 400 pages. And they always look at the pictures, at least, and they read the captions. And they read. Some of them read books. If nothing else, they can hold a book. That's also seva. Just holding. Prabhupada said touching the book is purifying. Turning the pages. And they don't throw it in their rooms. They put it on a shelf. They respect it. So, this is very good preaching. Best preaching. And it will work. It will affect their lives. The number of devotees will increase proportionately to the number of books distributed. The only question is when. But it must happen. You can't make material estimation exactly when, but it will take place. No, but they're not ignorant. They're not animals. They're humans. But they're acting like animals. No, you cannot say this. They have a human shape. They have a human shape. They have a human brain, but they have made it into an animal brain. But they must bear the consequence. Perhaps less so than someone who is intelligent and commits sin. But still, they have sufficient capacity if they wish. Prabhupada says they misuse their human intelligence, misdirected intelligence. In other words, they're humans acting like animals. But they are humans. At least they have got a machine that's called a human body. Even if they're abusing it and misusing it. So they are punished according to the body they're given. When they actually get the animal form, then they may not be held responsible. But so long they're in a human body, they got to get karma. Where's the book? You have a book to show me? Do you have a book to show me? When you asked this question yesterday, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Huh? I said, show me the book. I still say, show me the book. Now you can wait till the next place to ask this. You got another chance. Next time when you ask, you say, here's the book. Now it says in it, and then say the question. I have to see it in the context, otherwise I can't respond. Because it's not an easy thing to answer. Otherwise you would have figured the answer out yourself. So there must be a good answer, but I have to see what happens in the book, why Prabhupada is saying this. So in Metalago, you ask this question. Perhaps he gets discouraged, not seeing significant results, or he becomes affected, not keeping himself in strong consciousness. He becomes affected by associating with the karmis all day, not having a strong sadhana. If a book distributor is not very strong in his sadhana and is not keeping himself physically fit, then he will certainly have difficulty. Both physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, a book distributor has to be very strong. It's like a military person, they train. Or a sports person, they train. So for being a successful book distributor, you have to constantly be in training. You cannot let down for a single moment. As soon as you let down, the forces of Maya are very powerful. So that is one reason, is that they're careless in their sadhana, they're careless in their physical maintenance. They don't take sufficient time to look after themselves so that they can go out and distribute properly. I think that is the main problem. And then, you know, they have material desires in the heart. And these material desires may be put aside for some time, but if you don't actually deal with them properly and get them purified, then they're like weeds. So a person has got a desire for sex life, and it's a weed, and he doesn't pull the weed, and all day long he's distributing and seeing sex life in front of him in the form of women and men attached to women. And everything in society, Prabhupada said practically, is advertising sex life. So if he's not pulling this weed out by the process of Krishna consciousness, then being in that situation, he will get agitated more and more. And then it comes out in the shape of wanting to change his service, wanting to change his ashram. These are some causes. I'm sure you all can answer better than I. Maybe I should ask you. You can say something that I have neglected to say. Rahani Sutta Prabhu. Not having enough attachment to the spiritual master. Because even if one has weaknesses, if one is very attached to guru and guru's order, he can get the strength to overcome those weaknesses. So not fully developing one's relationship with one's spiritual master, that is another source of weakness. Because on our own, we're not strong. We are not strong. We are not able to do austerities. I tell you this dream I had. When I had an operation in Bombay, I had an operation and Prabhupada rushed to the hospital trying to get the operation switched to America. He didn't want me to undergo the operation. But he didn't get there in time. So when I was in the operation theater, they gave me this anesthesia, you know, that gas. So when I thought while I was getting an operation, I was meditating on Radharas Bihari Naarti and Kirtan and Prabhupada sitting there. So while I was in the under the anesthesia, I had this dream that Prabhupada was giving a report to the disciplic succession. And they were asking him what was his report for his preaching on this planet. And Prabhupada said that I have found that the people have no ability to do tapasya. Then neither they are very good at studying Vedas, and neither they can do practically anything of this type. He said, the only thing I have managed to do is that somehow or other, the only good thing about what they're doing, somehow they're taking shelter of my lotus feet. So Prabhupada, when I got out of the operation theater, I came back to consciousness, and Prabhupada was sitting in the room, the hospital room. So I told him, Prabhupada, I just had this dream. And I told him what the dream was, and Prabhupada said, this is actually a fact. So in other words, we don't have qualification on our own. Our qualification is that we take shelter of our guru, and by that shelter we get protection and strength. So if a devotee doesn't do this daily and regularly all the time, constantly remembering his guru and his service to his guru and the kindness his guru is giving him, if he doesn't have that personal realization, he may become affected also. Reaction. Anyway, it doesn't happen so often. You should pray for that person. He's an offender. He's an aparati. He's like the person who comes and tries to break the deity in the temple. It is a big offense. But that doesn't mean we can't preach. What does it mean? Because someone may come in the temple room and try to harm the deity, does it mean we shouldn't open temples? So because some rascal is going to take the book and deface it, does it mean we should not distribute books? Someone might argue like that. Should only sell books in bookstores, because then only people who want them will buy them. Which means practically don't sell books. Because books are not sold in bookstores, books are sold by book distributors. A few books are sold in the bookstores. But basically, it requires book and devotee. The book and the devotee. Book Bhagavat and devotee Bhagavat. Both must be there. Books, just like prasad, just like Krishna. Krishna likes to be served by his devotees, and books like to be distributed by their devotees. Krishna and the book is not different. So Krishna wants to be touched by the devotee. Krishna wants to be served by the devotee. And the books are like that. We should think these books are deities. They are deities, and the devotees are the pujaris handling the deities and giving darshan to the public, and the public is offering money like that, we should see. And if someone comes in and is a big offensive person, he will get his just reward. Yes, very good. Let that day happen. Prabhupada said that he will finally rest peacefully, Prabhupada said, when our movement goes down in the history books for having saved the world. So, Krishna says it, but the devotee didn't say it. Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, is the devotee. So Krishna is saying it is very rare. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, anyway, now that I've come as a devotee, I'm going to change this verse of the Bhagavad Gita. Now it may be possible. So Krishna as a devotee is more merciful than Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Devotee Krishna is more merciful than Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So Lord Chaitanya has said something different than what Krishna said. But since he is Krishna himself, he has the right. He came after Krishna. Prabhupada says the last teaching is the most essential. So, Lord Chaitanya's teaching is called the final chapter of Krishna. It is described like an appendix, like an author writes an appendix. After writing, he thinks of some final words to say, and he writes some last words. In the same way, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are called that. They are the thoughts that Krishna had after he concluded his pastimes. He thought, still, I have something further to say. So those final words are most essential. Parishista Lila is called. If last pastimes. After the fact. After Krishna's pastime, then come these. I have something more which I have not yet experienced or said, so I will come as Lord Chaitanya to say. All right, let us go out. I pray that by your mercy, I came here last time. I always come through Zurich to get the benefit of the association of the Sankirtan devotees. Because I want to be a servant of the Sankirtan devotees and the Sankirtan movement. So I pray that you will always let me come here and think kindly of me and of book distribution in other parts of the world. You are all dedicated Sankirtan devotees, and by your example and by your thoughts and blessings, book distribution can be spread very nicely. I have no doubt that Lord Chaitanya and your spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya, are empowering you. So kindly think very mercifully upon myself and all devotees who are trying their best to distribute in other places so that we can also become similarly empowered. Sankirtan Yagna Ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.